Well, it's been a long time since I just sat down and did an easy talker. And the rules for an easy talker are kind of like the rules for walk and talk. No prep and no real plan, although, you know, I kind of know what I want to talk about. Haven't done one of those in a while. A lot of the podcasts I've been doing recently have been sort of planned out. And I am in an amazing place. We're going to talk about it. And so it's a perfect time to kind of just free associate and talk about it, especially since I'm in a pretty good state. And a pretty good state, if you understand what I'm saying. In podcast 995, the Bob Davis Podcasts, New Mexico, America's Tibet. All right, I got to get my map. So let me do that. I wish I could... get every little nature sound, because they're great. Well, let me reach over here and get this map. And while I do that, let me just say this is probably going to be a little extra podcast, because I am having so great of an experience doing what I'm doing right now, especially that I've slowed down and, you know, I'm out here in New Mexico and I'm going to talk about that. I'm a long way from being frustrated and angry and hateful. But I know that there are people that hate, and they hate their printer. And why do they hate their printer? Well, as Jason Waldron, the owner of Cartridge World, says it, you know, the printers are the worst technology in your office. And so people, small business people, anybody working at home struggles with these printers. And I'm going to tell you what the biggest problem is, and it drives me crazy. There ought to be a law, I'm sorry to say. This is the outrageous price for print cartridges. Cartridge World in Maple Grove, Minnesota can save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores. Nobody does it better than them. And I'm talking about the Maple Grove location. Cartridge World cartridges guaranteed to perform as good as new. The ones I've had, I feel like they're better than new. Free delivery on qualifying orders wherever you are. Also, Cartridge World is serving the universe from Maple Grove, Minnesota, 763-420-6632. That's 763-420-6632, or click on the banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com that says, "Why pay more to print?" And while I'm at it, let me grab a water, because I got the mics set up for this one. Usually I am using some really good portable mics, but I thought, since I am way out in the middle of nowhere, and I'm not going anywhere anytime soon, I thought, well, you know what? I'm digging out the big mics. So I got one of the big mics out. And it's fun. It's just fun to play with your toys, right? So let me tell you, I am in New Mexico, and I'm pretty well traveled. I've been all over the country. I've seen, obviously, the Southeast, the Midwest, the Upper Midwest. Was raised in Illinois, so I've seen some incredible things and seen things traveling all over the middle tier of the United States, Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin. And of course, all of these states have qualities that are different north and south, east and west. And on west, Montana, Wyoming, Oregon, Washington, California, Arizona, and of course the southeast. So we're talking about the Atlantic seaboard from New Jersey and New York all the way down to, you know, Florida, North and South Carolina, Maryland, Virginia, especially recently. And then working our way west from there, West Virginia, which is one of my favorites, and Florida, you know, the general vicinity, the Gulf Coast, Texas, just came from Texas. And of course, I love Texas, and you know that because we were talking about that in the last podcast. But I'm sure by now you can hear the wind outside. And of course, I've got the door open, sitting here in Mobile Podcast Command. Beautiful day. The kind of day that's absolutely clear, just an occasional cloud in the sky. And the early spring sun, which is different from late summer or winter sun. And so it's just got this incredible, just this white, bright feel to it. And I love how this time of the year especially, but in New Mexico especially, that wherever you are, everything looks different almost every hour of the day because of the angles of the sun. And that's blowing my mind. So let me tell you why I call New Mexico America's Tibet. First of all, it's obviously part of the lore of New Mexico because it's right on the license plates, the land of enchantment. And these days, often people will be, they'll use those terms, things like first in freedom, if you're in South Carolina, you know, in this case, land of Lincoln or land of enchantment, people will use it sarcastically, say, and they'll make jokes about it. This is not that kind of podcast today. This is a really an amazing place. And I've got my map here because I want people to know, you know, where I am and what it's like. So I have been across southern New Mexico a couple of different times. Las Cruces, I've talked about, all those places. Deming, I think I've been through Silver City, Carlsbad, Artesia, all the way over to the eastern part of the state going into Texas. And I know I've been in the well, usually I guess I have missed the northern part of the state, but I have never been to Santa Fe. Once I was at Santa Fe. And last summer, I guess I was around Los Alamos looking for the Trinity site, by the way. And then I guess I drove through here on the way back to Virginia when my mom had her cerebral hemorrhage on 40. And you know what's weird? That was that crazy 3,000-mile, 3-4-day trip. I don't think I remember any of it. I don't remember New Mexico at all in that process. So this time, and really what I've been doing as a nomad, since there is no schedule, and I've talked about this in a couple of different podcasts, I don't want to belabor it. It really takes a long time to slow down. It really takes a long time to realize you're not on a trip, you're not on vacation, this is it. Which for me is just exhilarating. And you go through, and I did a podcast about it, you go through these periods where you're euphoric, and then the expectations start flowing back in because that's the way we live our lives. It's Monday, I got to do this. It's Tuesday, I got to do this. It's Wednesday, I got to do this. I've got to get that thing out of the backyard. I've got to take this thing up to what's its place. I've got to, you know, I've got to. And, you know, my son wants this, and my daughter wants this, and my wife says we got to do this, and I want to do this. And that's the path of life. I don't think that's a bad path of life. I think that's how people get things done. And I think that's how people live their lives. And there has to be some organizing principle in a family, right? But I'm old enough now that I think it's okay to give myself this incredible gift. And I was just thinking that sitting in this truck in this beautiful location in New Mexico right now, just north of Taos, is such a contrast to sitting in this truck in Virginia in my mom's driveway for 3 months, or sitting on the back deck of my house in Minneapolis the night before I was ready to leave. I had chucked everything, sold everything, donated everything, cleaned the house, and I had my sleeping bag, which at that time was brand new. This is in October. My REI is fabulous sleeping bag. And I was sleeping on the floor in my apartment, or duplex, whatever you call it. And I contrast where I am today and what I did today And what I've been doing the last, I don't know. I don't even know what day it is, technically. I guess I mean, I kind of do. I'll tell you, the only reason I know what day it is because I do a Zoom conference on Wednesday mornings once a week. So I have to be someplace where there's good cell signal. And I mean, I can make calls. I've got the booster going and the booster works great. But even up here, I'm so far out, I can make calls and send texts, but I can't, which is a good thing. I can't watch YouTube. I can't do anything that requires really bandwidth. So I drove in, I got into Texas, the first place I stopped, or I'm sorry, I got into New Mexico, came from Texas. And Texas, it's on its own, has this certain quality. But West Texas is a completely different place. Texas, and this blows my mind about the United States. We have 50 states. And if you look at it, we've all been raised with the map of the United States, all 50 states. The United States, this United States, the United States, that. And we live in a national culture. We have national media. We have national chains. We have national chain restaurants and national chain auto repair shops and national chain tire places, and we have national chains, department stores. We live in that kind of an environment when you're in the cities. And I have a lot of observations about the cities now, and I don't know, I might just save that for another podcast. But these states are so different in a lot of ways, and when you get into the Southwest, they're really different. And New Mexico is the most different of almost any state I've been to. I love Arizona. Arizona's amazing. California is amazing, even despite what people have written about it and the bitching and moaning about what's going on in California, this and everything else. Oregon, Washington, these are all unique places. But New Mexico is something else again. I came in at Roswell, and you know me, I refuse to take interstates. First of all, I'm going to say something about it. I think interstates, if you're thinking about doing this, I have a couple of friends who are like, you know, I'm getting ready to retire. I'm going to get an RV, and I've got to have a shower, and I've got to have a bedroom, and I got to have, you know what I'm saying? I got to have, right? And first of all, I'll just say, if you're thinking about, I mean, obviously you better have a lot of money because the big ones are expensive. Even the small ones are expensive, but okay. Let's suppose you got the cash, the resources, the collateral to go out and borrow $190,000 and buy yourself a great RV. Get one that you can drive on back roads. And I mean, get one that can go off road if necessary, because the places that you want to go and the places that you really want to see are not really accessible with a giant box RV. A lot of reasons. So it's April in New Mexico, and it's windy. The wind was crazy in Texas, and it's crazy in New Mexico. And the further north you go, the more the wind hits. This is another thing I love about this state. So Roswell is like kind of the desert. I mean, the whole state's really almost a desert except for the mountains. But the southern half is warm, relatively, compared to what I've been dealing with. You know, I've been dealing, the entire time that I've been traveling, it feels like it's been the high of 60, 65, and the low of 40, 35. I can't get warm. Well, today I finally got warm, but anyway. So I came across 380. I think I might have mentioned that at one point. 380, you pick up 380 at some point. It's, I think, Seymour, Texas. That's West Texas. You come all the way across 380, and you come all the way into Roswell, New Mexico, which is where the UFO thing has been found. And you know what's interesting about Roswell? Were it not for the UFO, I'm pretty sure that Roswell's downtown would look much like the downtowns that you see in Texas. We talked about it in the last podcast, the Lubbock thing, where the downtown is relatively abandoned. You know, there was a couple businesses that are still operating, but you have this relic of the 1950s, When these were cow towns, the towns like Lubbock and the bigger towns were centers where people came and got feed and they did their business, because you're dealing with very long distances and you're dealing with vehicles and structures that were really not structures that you would use or systems that you would use that you can use like you can use today. So the big towns were the railroad towns where the railroads met and where business got done, county seats and so forth. And those downtowns are relatively abandoned. Roswell's is just hopping. And the reason is because of the UFO thing. Everybody comes to the UFO museum, which is a pretty good museum. Everybody wants to see where the UFO was found, which is a debatable thing, right? So we'll talk about my trip out of Roswell and where I am now, which is just north of Taos, in the second half of this podcast. By the way, I want to get a shout out for Mark Korn, who is the guy that runs Depot Star. He would love being here with me up here in New Mexico in the mountains. It feels great. So we've been talking, and one of the things that I've really taken away from talking to Mark is Mark's an inventor. And I think, a big part of the why for Depot Star was that he needed a manufacturing company to be able to manufacture his own inventions. Alpha Systems AOA is one of them. So if you're an inventor and you're looking for somebody to manufacture your stuff, if you are manufacturing here in the United States, and you're looking for an American manufacturer, or you're looking for a better deal or whatever, if you are considering American manufacturing, remember Depot Star, American design, engineering, and manufacturing. Visit them online at depotstar.com or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Also been talking a lot about summer coming up. It's so weird because it's only April for me and for you, obviously. And of course, most of my Aprils in my life have been in the northern tier, Illinois or Minnesota or Wisconsin. And it's so interesting to be kind of on the edge of spring and summer. So where I am right now feels more like late spring, early summer in like central or northern Minnesota. Makes me think of summer at 36 and Lynn, the independently owned and operated community-focused refueling station in the Lynn Lake neighborhood in Minneapolis. So not only are they all out to help the community at 36 and Lynn, they also have a great store with a great selection of locally sourced products. They also have great coffee, which for me is the deal breaker, right? Remember 36 Lynn, next time you swing through Minneapolis, need a gas or a cup. The thing about it is, they are independently owned and operated, which means they can get a better deal on fuel and pass the savings on to you. And in my opinion, that's one of the reasons they're always busy. The other one is the store. Click on the 36 Lynn banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Check out their Instagram feed. And again, thank you guys for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. I love the wind. I was talking about Roswell. And the thing that I think about every time I think about Roswell, let's just assume that dude, the farmer, the rancher, whatever it was, I think it's like 45, 50 miles from Roswell where this rancher found the wreckage of this quote-unquote alien spacecraft. According to reports, the aliens were still alive. So this guy, now I want you to think about this for a second, because if you ever come out here and you drive out of Roswell, let's say that you drive out of Roswell on, 285, or you drive out of Roswell, a better one would be, I think it's something like 240. These are essentially farm roads. And you're out in the middle of nowhere in a very short period of time. This poor guy had to drive in or deal with whatever was going on by himself, and then drive into Roswell. And of course, the rest is history. And I'm not doing the podcast about UFOs. So I came out of Roswell on 285. This is a long, highway that goes up to Vaughan. And my objective was Santa Fe. So I came up, continued on 285, coming up, and I stayed in a couple of places, truck stops along the way. I think there was a campground in there somewhere. I don't even know. I know what I did. Yeah, that's why I did this. I didn't stay on 285. I came across to 41. Yeah, because 41 goes straight up to Santa Fe. Santa Fe is the capital of New Mexico, and it's kind of a big town. And I wasn't too happy with Santa Fe. It's not Santa Fe's fault. It's just another one of these big cities that, by Chicago standards, isn't a big city. But by my standards, these, I just want to point out that these highways and this experience going up 41 was just incredible. You come to a town like Estancia, Willard, Moriarty. Oh, yeah, that's what I did. I went up into the Manzano Mountains, and I couldn't find a campsite in the mountains, but I found a campsite that night. That night I hung out in a abandoned truck stop that was freaky, and it was great. I stayed there, and then I kept going the next day. This time I came out and I continued up 14 to Santa Fe, and I have to tell you that the it's really all about the scenery. These mountains, these hills, the colors, you know, the dun color of the ground, the faded sort of forest green of the trees. I stayed in a campground at some point in this whole process that was completely deserted. Just an incredible experience. Forest trees, amazing. And it's the visual scenery that causes this. But then you get up into the mountains, and then you start. So that first night when I was in the Manzano Mountains, which aren't that big, it was the sunset, and I could not believe how incredible it was. Couldn't believe it. And then coming north through Santa Fe, if you like cafes and art studios and, you know, really nice places to eat and, you know, these stores with Indian jewelry or Native American jewelry or that silver turquoise stuff, high-priced art and art museums and things like that, and you want to stay in a hotel, more power to you. That's Santa Fe to me. I did stop in Santa Fe because I lost a wheel cover off the right back wheels. The wheel cover fell off, and I went to a RV supply place that was down all these dirt roads in Santa Fe, went in there, and ended up talking to the people that ran this RV service and sales place. Really nice people, and they were working on a 57 Ranchero. I thought that was great, and I ended up talking to the guy for a little while, and that was my experience in Santa Fe. Then I came up and worked my way up, all the way up through Española and on up into Taos. And I am currently on a BLM site, which is the, I think it's called the, Rio Grande del Norte National Monument. And there are several BLM sites up here. Now, I've talked a lot about Bureau of Land Management sites, and those of you that have been doing this for a while, you probably already know this, but their BLM sites differ in quality. Some of them, much to my surprise, are really nice. They're just as nice as any national park, and what I like about BLM is they don't have a lot of rules, and they leave you alone. And as long as you're not stupid and have a giant fire or leave food out or something to that effect, you're just left alone, you know. And it's $7 a day to camp here. Now, it's not electric, but, and it doesn't have hookups, so you're essentially boondocking. But these, you should see this gorge. I went on it turned out to be about 14 miles, maybe more, this hike on this loop trail. And what it does is it loops through all these campsites. Now, I'm in a pretty spectacular campsite, so I'm looking east, and the campsite kind of declines down towards a huge valley, you know, that's green and beautiful, very verdant. It's, and then you look up and you see these snow-capped mountains, and you look down the way, and that's about 25 miles away, and that's over by Taos. and you can see the snow-capped mountains down there. Taos is just a hippie town. Really nice people. It's just a hippie town. It's nothing special. It's the way, I would say, it's probably like Flagstaff, Arizona used to be before, or Payson, Arizona used to be before all the, what do they used to call them? Yuppies got to it. You know, before the very rich boomers moved in and with their art studios and their spas and all that stuff. Damn them! But these BLM sites are spectacular. They have real nice cement pads. They have excellent fire pits. They leave you alone. It's first come, first serve. That's the other thing I don't like about national parks. And I'll tell you the truth, there's a couple things I don't like about state parks, too. You got to make a reservation. Then you get on this website for, especially for state parks, it's impossible. And national parks the same way. And then the thing that I really don't like about it is they put you in right next to somebody else. These BLM sites are very separated. Like, there's a couple other people in the park, but I am, you know, I'm probably 100 feet away from the other guy. And then the other guy is at least 500 feet down the way. So I did this 14-mile loop, which goes through all the sites, and I discovered, so this is a coming together of two rivers, is my understanding with this thing. And it's naturally protected, and this is a spectacular gorge, which means it's almost like the Grand Canyon. I mean, it's not, but I mean, it's that gives you an impression of what it is. You're looking 2,000 feet down into this gorge, rock on both sides, pine trees, juniper trees, dun-colored rocks, faded forest green. I mean, the sun, amazing. So I went on this. I thought it was a loop. I thought, oh, this probably just goes around the campsite, right? And this is the thing about these national parks and BLM too. You got to be prepared because this is no joke. I'm on this loop, and they go, trail hardness level, difficulty level, easy. And it was easy. But I wasn't really prepared for a 14-mile hike. And I got a pair of, riding boots that I was wearing and square-toed that I've had for years with a worn-down right heel. And that was it. And I had a plastic thing of water like this when I left. And I thought it'll probably be like 4 or 5 miles. It goes, I got like halfway through, and by now I'm way on the other side. I'm now on the other side to the other gorge. So first gorge on one way, then you go down and I'm on the other side of the gorge. But it's amazing. I took my shirt off. It's about 65. When you get in the sun, it's about 80. The sun, man, the sun, it's amazing. And I get to this one campsite. I don't even know which one it was. And I realized that I'm way on the other side at the other gorge, and it says, next campsite, 7 miles. And you can't go back because you'd just be the same distance. So I kept going, next campsite, 5 miles. Next campsite, 1.5 miles. And I finally made it back, and I took some vitamins and drank a lot of water and took a nap and got up and made a huge cup of coffee. And now I'm just watching the sun. I am looking west. The shelters are, the shelters have a concrete pad that's beautiful. As I told you about the fire rings, then they got grills. And the grills are the kind that are in the ground and they're permanent. And then they have these metal shelters with really nice tables. And it's just a top rate thing. And it's the Bureau of Land Management, $7 a day. It's amazing. So to get here, and then by the way, I just want to, we're getting towards the end of the time that I wanted to spend, and I want to mention that there's another BLM site about, well, it's probably close to 100 miles from here. It's about 40 miles from Taos. This one is on the southern end of Taos, and this one's lower, and it's along another river, and I don't know the name of that one. But that's the first one you come to. This is not, so if you're coming in from the south to Taos, the first BLM site is not the one you want to go to. That one is the Chila Verde BLM Recreation Area. That's beautiful too. So I'm going back down there when I leave here. But I'm probably going to spend another day here and go to the other There's another campsite that has even more spectacular views. But the way that you get here is you come up through Taos. When you leave Santa Fe, you have no choice but to go on what would be considered an interstate, which is 2484. You follow 84 all the way up to 68, 68 all the way up to Taos, and then you get on 522, follow 522 north out of Taos, and at this point, you got a choice of going right or left. You'll see the signs for this recreation area, and then it's probably 15 or 20 miles back. And this is why I say having a real big RV would be a little bit problematic, because, and there's a few RVs here, so it's not like it's impossible, but you got to come 15, 25 miles back. And then once you get in here, it's another 6 or 7 miles out to these campsites. So it's quite a hike, but it's so well worth it. And, you know, it's, again, it's the sights, it's the, if I had to pick a southwestern state right now where you could probably live and it would be like it was in the 70s or the 60s or the 50s, if you go to the right place, I would say New Mexico. Why is it the land of enchantment? Well, you know, if you read Native American history, there's some very interesting groups of Native Americans here. And I would say there's definitely, you know, groups, and I don't have all my research available, so I'm not going to say names because I'm going to sound like an idiot. But they were and continue to be fairly spiritual people. And I think you know what I'm talking about. I think there's a spiritual nature to these days, especially. About that. And so there's so many Native Americans and so many Latinos in this state, you're in a real different place. I passed a church. And again, remember, this used to be, you know, a Spanish province, what later became Mexico and then later became the United States. And you think, oh, how old can stuff be? And this is what's really interesting about the Southwest. Yeah, if you go to Plymouth Rock, you're going to see something that's from 1620. If you travel around New England, there's some stuff from the late 1600s past this little church in this little town that could have been Mexico. I mean, it just could have been Mexico because it was Mexico at one time. Church on the corner, you know, name of this church, founded 1624. And this is not an unusual occurrence in this state. Now, I haven't been out to the Navajo Indian Reservation. I haven't been out to Zuni Pueblo. I haven't been out to these other places and towards Gallup. I'm going there. And I got to figure out how to go there. But I am blown away by New Mexico, America's Tibet. And why do I say that? And I'll just close with this. I say it because it's the vistas, it's the mountains, it's the raw natural power. It's not tropical. It's not a low desert. It's, it's cool. At night, it's like 38, 39, 40. The wind, especially the whole trip in New Mexico, the wind has been crazy. That's another reason that a giant RV could be problematic, because boy, the wind was, I mean, it's pushing semis over. You got to be careful when you're on a two-lane road and the wind is coming out of the west or the east and these semis are coming toward you. You got to be careful that you don't get blown into each other. That's how powerful the wind is. So I can feel the burn of the sun and the wind on my face. I can feel the burn of the sun that I got today on my body. The coffee tastes like wine. The sky is unbelievable. The sun is setting. New Mexico is America's Tibet. At least it is for me, right? So I'm sitting at my little concrete pad shelter this afternoon, drinking my coffee. I just woke up, and I could have sworn I saw something move. Now, one of the reasons I call this American Tibet is all through the entire time I've been here, I've been seeing things out of the corner of my eye. I don't know what's going on. But I saw this thing, and I looked up, and then I saw it again. And this time I actually saw something. And I said, it's a mountain lion. That is a friggin' mountain lion. It was a dog. And, you know, it made me think about Inspire and Flourish. This is the group that helps the rescue companies or the people that rescue dogs and cats and help animals in need. So I'm talking about the nonprofits. Whatever agencies that do this work need your tax-deductible contributions to inspireandflourish.org, because they help those agencies that help those animals that love us so much, dogs and cats that are in such a, you know, really crisis these days because there's so many strays, right? Send your tax-deductible donation to Inspire and Flourish by visiting inspireandflourish.org or click on their banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcasts.com. Well, thanks for listening to podcast 995, the Bob Davis Podcast. Got to get my pitch in for support for this trip. So if you make a donation to the Bob Davis Podcast, you do so by going to thebobdavispodcast.com. You find that little round donate button underneath the picture of Mobile Podcast Command. And you can donate $5, $10. You know, Shane Parr just sent me $25. That's great. That goes right in the tank, basically. And it's I'm very grateful for the support that I've received and hopefully will receive from folks that are listening. And of course, advertisers as well that have been supporting the podcast. I really appreciate that. I am 5 podcasts away from 1,000 podcasts, which I think is a pretty big achievement for a podcaster. Doing 2 or 3 or 4 podcasts a week at different times during this whole period that I've been podcasting since 2009, and I'm really excited about that. So from here, it's on to the western part of northern New Mexico. Very excited about that. And oh, one more thing. You know, as the crows fly, I'm not really too far, and I think that's one of the reasons that this place is so interesting. So I went to Los Alamos not too long ago looking for the Trinity site. And you can't get in there, by the way. They only open it once a year. But this is the site of the first atomic bomb test in 1945. So we're not too far from there. So there's all this stuff in New Mexico that is just plain mesmerizing. And I am just loving every minute of it. Thanks for listening to podcast 995, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Live from New Mexico. Boop.
Remember when our songs were just like prayer, like gospel hymns that you call in the air. Come down, sweet reverence, unto my simple house and rain.